Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, folks, I hope you're counting your blessings. I hope you realize that the divine hand of providence has stayed your Constitution, or has been able to still allow the preservation of your Constitution for you to actually step in and take control. It's now or never. Now or never. Because we're getting to that point. Because once that line is crossed, that we can't do it anymore, it's done. Once the states, you know, if we fail to, this is one of the reasons why people ask me, well, why do you talk directly to state legislators? Because I want them to know that when the time comes, when the federal government says, we need to set aside the Constitution and we're no longer going to abide by that, they have to realize that the federal government has no ability to do that. They have no authority to set aside the state's compact. It is the state's compact. This is why this is so important. This is why teaching and educating our state legislators and our county legislators the importance of what they have to do. We have to hold them accountable. We need to start, you know, carrying matches in our pockets again. You know, you may not smoke, but we need to start putting fire to the feet of our public servants. And so I'm just using metaphorically, we have to be carrying these things. And so you may want to carry the Constitution, but I'm going to tell you that that is insufficient in today's world because we're too illiterate as a society, as our public servants. They don't understand that. They've decided how they want to interpret that. Remember, I talked about in the campaign process of how we needed states to basically create the definitized Constitution. Technically, if we get the Constitution Party and the Independent American Party and all parties, all those who can academically, you know, create the irrefutable case of what the organic Constitution and its amendments, because we can do this. It's really easy, folks. And I could actually do it, but I'm not your king. I don't even want to be the king. I don't mind leading people, but we need people to actually assemble so that we can just state the obvious. Yes, we all agree, but we have to get together first, and then we have to discuss what we're going to agree upon, and it shouldn't be that hard. There's way too many drama queens that want to make it hard, and we'll just call them out and say, hey, quit being a drama queen. This is the bottom line. The framers already told us what everything in that Constitution meant, line by line, when they went through it in the ratification debates. And that's all we should be accepting. Why would you accept anything else? Where is the danger in what we're accepting? Because we're going to go through it, and we're going to prove that this is the purity of the Constitution. It's a beautiful thing, friends. And we have to send our thanks and gratitude to the divine hand of providence in what he has blessed us with, what he's bestowed us with, because he saw that it was essential that they recorded these proceedings so that you would have record, so that they, like Isaiah speaks of, that they could speak through the dust to us so that we know the truth. That's what those records are for. But that's why Satan and these evil doers that wanted to pervert our government and aggrandize federal powers unconstitutionally, that's why they obscured and hid the ratification debates. They didn't want you to have these. The only way that they could get away with that is to marginalize them and tell them, oh, those are just worthless documents. That's okay. It's a living, to support their narrative of the annotated Constitution, a living document. They knew, had they basically called and said, we need to burn all the ratification debates, that would have tipped you off instantly that that's what Satan does. He wants us to start burning books. Now, it's one thing to ban a book, but it's another thing to destroy them from our presence, to remove them and take them away, right? I mean, when you go to a library and you say, these books don't belong in here, that's not burning. That's not a book burning. That's not censorship to the degree of removing the thought, the data, the information in its entire form from the face of the earth. It's only saying that this is not the place or the venue that is appropriate for the ages and the persons that are coming into this library. That should be what the argument is, folks. Anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for getting involved, and thank you for contributing in growing the show. You're not done. You're not doing it enough. You need to get, and you need to convince everybody that you've convinced to listen. You need to convince them that they have a responsibility to do this too. If we are to support and defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic, we have to do it smartly, and we have to do it based on the facts, based on enlightenment, not based on what GR just says. And that's why, as you listen to this, you realize that it's GR doesn't even want to be king. GR doesn't want to be the person that's telling you everything to do. He's basically giving you exactly what the framers said so that you can then say, wow, GR's assessment of these things are spot on, and he's right. I do have a big fallacy. I have a huge problem. I like being right. I love being right. I don't like being wrong. I learned that, and I've given you the history as a child, how it was really reinforced, how well I felt when I would win an argument, when I was right and proven right, when my dad conceded, you know what, son, you're right. And boy, that's an empowering feeling, folks. Being right is great. I want you to be right with me. I don't want you to no longer say that this is what GR says. You have to basically echo, because what GR says is what the framers said. And GR is only creating and connecting the dots is how the framers have basically told us all of these things, such as Republic Review. And when you start looking and examining Republic Review, you cannot refute it. You cannot even refute the source that this actually came from, the hands of James Madison and Thomas Jefferson, who received it through the enlightenment, through the inspiration, through the guidance of the divine hand of providence, just like I did. Folks, you know, when things happen, they just happen. And as you look and examine for yourself, you will prove our points for us and for yourself. And we ask you to do that. We don't want you to take our word for it. You hear me say that all the time. Don't take my word for it. Read what these words are from these guys. And then when you do that, you have to admit that it's not the GR's right. GR's just telling you the truth. But it does make you feel like you are right, because you're speaking the truth. And what a beautiful thing that is. What a powerful thing that is. Because you know that the divine hand of providence, our creator, he created the truth. He is bound to the laws of science. He is bound to all things known and yet to be known. As we discover what he has given us, then we actually start saying, wow, this is bigger than us. And it is. It really is. And we deserve this. We deserve better. We just have to behave better to get the better we deserve, if that makes any sense. Anywho, let's go on. As you know, the show is sponsored by RepublicReview.org. And again, this is the only show that goes through the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. I'm not a fusion of entertainment and a fusion of information and a fusion of, you know, making you happy and making you feel good. I am here to help you become the leader that you need to be. I am a leader of leaders and a follower, and actually, I am a servant of all. And if you start understanding the magnitude of liberty and its importance, and how we have to, in being public servants, as being servants, that is our responsibility to actually serve each other and ensuring that you're choosing for yourselves. Anyway, let me move into Timber Nation. As you know, Timber Nation is where you can get hardwood furniture, quality walnut, quality oak, quality hickory. Go check out timbernation.com and look at the quality of this furnishing that you can get. Why do I support these types of companies like Gary Smith with Fortitude Financial Coaching? Why go to him? He's a patriot. He supports liberty. He supports your ability to choose. And he supports liberty-minded organizations like Reclaiming the Republic. Timber Nation is a huge supporter of liberty. We want to give business, and we want to I'd ask you, I'm going to start doing this. I would ask you to ask them to say, you know, how do you and how can you further liberty in supporting organizations? I want to start seeing companies and businesses and even good, independent, liberty-loving corporations, even though corporations have been perverted since their original essence of corporations in the United States, they have become a lot more than they should have ever become, possibly. But bottom line, any corporation can actually make decisions for itself to be good and moral and just. But when a corporation actually tries to use political clout and political influence to make things better for themselves, then I understand it becomes a problem. But that doesn't mean that every corporation has to be that way. Doesn't mean that every corporation is evil. There are good corporations. There are good LLCs. I'm one of them. There are lots of others that are good LLCs. I am not a nonprofit. I ask that you create nonprofits when you create your unorganized militia. And we kind of covered all of that. What we want to do is we want to get straight into the Electoral College. But as I close out, please support Gary Smith at 42 Financial Coaching and Timber Nation at timbernation.com. Our comment line, 425-270-5416. And we'll be right back after these two promos with the Electoral College clauses in the Constitution. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADD-LOCAL or visit them on the web at www.addlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so now we really get to where the rubber hits the road, because in understanding a Republican form of government, we actually have to really dive into this concept of protecting ourselves from direct democracy. And the only way to do that is reading Article 2, the 12th Amendment, and the 20th Amendment, as they have basically changed the Electoral College process in one way or the other. And so we already talked about that the executive power, with Article 2, Section 1, basically, you know, lays down the law that the executive power
is to be vested in the president, and that this president is to hold his term for 4 years, so forth, and that he is, later on, he gets into the details of his oath of office, that it is his job to establish foreign affairs, to basically determine what our foreign strategies are to be, whether we to be, you know, create alliances or what have you. But the Constitution actually limits alliances. It doesn't allow us to actually create these sub-polities or sub-types of governments where they can create a UN and subjugate us to another. There's no power given to the federal government to align and adjoin our government with other governments in creating a new form of government body like the UN. They don't have the authority or power to do that. They do have the authority and power to declare war and to determine trade and determine trade, you know, negotiations and so forth. But that's it. That is it. We are sovereign states and a sovereign republic. So going into subsection 2 of the, what we'll call the Article 2 Electoral College Clause, what I have done is I have injected the changes of the 12th and the 25th Amendment into what I'm going to read. So in other words, without you having to read the Constitution, Article 2, and what it states regarding the Electoral College Clause, then reading this 12th Amendment, then having to figure out what it just changed, we're just saying, we're cutting to the chase and saying, this is the process. So, moving forward, this is what it says. Each state shall appoint, in such manner, we're talking about the Electoral College seats, shall appoint how those seats, the manner in how those seats will be made available for the people of the state to choose their electors. It does not allow the state legislators the ability to choose for us. Okay? I just want you to understand that. And the representative form of government, we are to elect them. In such manner, so each state shall appoint in such manner as the legislatures may direct a number of electors equal to the whole number of senators and representatives to which the state may be entitled in the Congress. But no senator or representative or person holding an office of trust or profit under the United States shall be appointed an elector. So in other words, you are not eligible to be a candidate to become an elector. So the appointment process basically provides, you know, this is what you can be to be an elector. So they create this standard, but they don't, when they say appoint, that does not mean that they are the electors for the people. There still has to be an election. The electors shall meet in their respective states and vote by ballot for president and vice president, one of whom at least shall not be an inhabitant of the same state with themselves. They shall name in their ballots the person voted as for president and in distinct ballots the person voted as vice president. And the number of votes of for each which list they shall sign and certify and transmit sealed to the seat of government of the United States directed to the president of the Senate. So at this point in time, they're no longer sealing these and sending these to the secretary in Congress of the United States, the secretary of the United States in Congress, because that was the very first Electoral College directive sent out to the states that ratified and so forth. The President of the United States shall, in the presence of the Senate and House of Representatives, open all of the certificates and the votes shall then be counted. The person having the greatest number of votes for president shall be the president, if such a number be a majority of the whole number of electors appointed. And if no person have such majority, then the persons having the highest numbers not exceeding 3 on the list of those voted for as president, the House of Representatives shall choose immediately by ballot. In other words, if they can't come down to, you know, having 3 people to do a runoff and then basically selecting out of a field of 3, let's say there's a field of 40. That's, you see, people say, oh, there's a danger in having 40 people that are, you know, chosen, are out there to be, you know, campaigning for president. There's no danger in it because the Electoral College would then say, okay, we take the top three. Then after having the top three, if we still can't come to a clear president of the United States, because they can't get the majority, they can't have the two, they can't come up with 270 electors, constitutional electors, who were elected per the process dictated by the state legislature. See, one of the things they don't say here is because they assume that the Constitution will be complied with. The one thing they don't say is, hey, if the Constitution doesn't, you know, isn't complied with, and these electors are chosen outside this process, the state, the Congress must reject the Electoral College and execute this next step that we're going into. Because, you know, the assumption is, and as a matter of fact, when they explained the Constitution during the ratification debates, they didn't want to waste a bunch of paper and time saying, well, if they don't do this, then this is a violation. If they just basically said what they had to do. And so the expectation is that the states and everybody would be in compliance. When something is non-compliant, then they have to do, and they have to state the obvious. Well, that's non-compliant. We can't accept this. And this is unconstitutional. This is why we're in this constitutional crisis today, folks. It's because Congress failed to do their job on January 6, 2021. And they've obfuscated the facts, and they've got everybody to think, you know, anybody that has no brain matter between their two ears really believes that there was an insurrection. These people that believe that are actually idiots because they believe anything that they're being told because, oh, well, these people ought to know, right? No. They're doing everything they can to propel and protect their political agenda. And at the time, the political agenda was to make sure by cook or crook that President Trump did not get reelected, even if they had to violate the Constitution to do so, which is why we're in a constitutional crisis. Now, getting back to, if they can't, you know, come to the votes counted, then, and the number for each, okay, so let me get back to this. They shall name in their ballots, okay, the name of the ballots in the ballots voted for president, and in distinct ballots, the person voted for as vice president, and the number of votes for each, which lists they shall sign and certify and transmit sealed to the seat of government of the United States, directed to the president of the Senate. The president of the Senate shall, in the presence of the Senate and representatives, open all the certificates, and the votes shall then be counted. The person having the greatest number of votes for president shall be the president, if such a number be a majority of the whole numbers of electors appointed. And if no person have such a majority, then from the persons having the highest number, not exceeding three on the list of those voted for as president, the House of Representatives shall then choose immediately by ballot the president, but in choosing the president, the vote shall be taken by states. So in other words, if the Electoral College and how they vote, so a lot of people think that the Electoral College will revote, but they don't. Actually, if they don't provide a clear 270 votes for president in a clear elector win, this is why the parties have made these huge concessions to take away the true representation of the people. This is why the party at the national level controls the outcome of the presidential election. You don't have any say on this. They use a primary to actually peel everything down. And they want to make sure that either it's their guy or the opposing party's guy that becomes president, because they all are moving the ball forward for the globalists. I have told you the Republican Party is equally culpable in the deep state and moving the global agenda forward. But anyway, so if the Electoral College cannot actually create that clear that choice, that clear winner, the majority of 270, then the top three would then go to Congress, and then Congress would go and they would vote by state who out of that top three would be chosen. So in other words, we basically, as the people, narrow it down for Congress to do. And then Congress goes through, and again, if you got 30 people from the state of California in the House of Representatives, all 30 representatives, their vote counts as one. This means that Wyoming, with one vote, South Dakota and Montana, with one vote each of these states, I think Montana is gaining two in the Electoral College this coming year. But nevertheless, when we look at the Electoral College of a single vote state in Congress on the 12th Amendment, the most populated state, California, New York, Texas, these most populated states only get one vote as well. So in other words, there will be only be 50 votes cast. So what happens is they have to come to a clear majority. They have to get 26 votes to determine who the president is out of these three. And so we'll get back into the reading of the Electoral College and how we actually determine the president in accordance to the Constitution, how this is supposed to happen, and what should have happened on January 6th. We'll be right back after these two promos. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath even though we're not required to take it because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I'm going to get back into the 12th Amendment again, or actually the Electoral College, how the Constitution dictates the process of choosing the president via the Electoral College. So again, going back a little bit, if such number be a majority of the whole number of electors appointed, and if no such person have such majority, then the persons having the highest numbers not exceeding three on the list. So out of a field of 50, they will take the top three because they couldn't come up with, because they fractionalized. See, the party convinced us that having primaries helped us whittle down the field so that they had the best candidate. Well, I disagree. I believe that the whole proportion of the United States, and when we really start thinking about it, folks, when you look at the red states and the flyover states, when you allow democracy and the voice of the people to rise up, well, then that majority, which comes from just a few states, which would be California, New York, Texas, Florida, New Jersey, those types of states, well, they drowned out the rest of the republic. But in concept of a republican form of government, in the concept of a true republican form of government, the states actually have equal say for the most part. And this is how it goes down, because they actually get rid of this oddball numbers of representation by people. And this is how they break down the choice of president based on one vote per state. So in other words, so the House of Representatives shall choose immediately by ballot the president. But in choosing the president, the vote shall be taken by states, the representation from each state having one vote. A quorum for this purpose shall consist of a member or members from two-thirds of the states. So in other words, the only way they can do this is that they have to have a minimum of two-thirds of the states. So that would mean that they would have to have, 34 states that would be present in Congress to actually vote, and then they could actually vote. So technically, without Georgia in 2021, on January 6th, they had enough states, they had quorum in Congress and that was only in the Senate. They still had all the congressional representation. They had enough representation from each of the states to actually determine who should have been chosen. That was Congress's responsibility to ensure that the Constitution was followed. This is why this is such a big deal. This constitutional crisis is the doing and at the hands of these evildoers of the deep state in Congress. They should all be tried and hanged for treason. I can't say it any other way. Everybody that deliberately obfuscated, which as far as I'm concerned, that means everybody. Everybody, because they were all served petitions and all informed of what had to happen, that they had to reject the Electoral College. And not one representative in either house, the Senate or the House of Representatives, not one stood up and said, we just formed and we just accepted an unconstitutionally formed college. Not even Representative Green stated that. Why? Because she didn't understand what happened. She didn't read the petition she was served. They all ignore us, the people. I'm okay with exercising the charges of treason and executing the full force of the law. If that's what it takes to get people to start understanding that the supreme law of the land is not to be trifled, there is a reason why treason comes with a capital punishment. Because we all must at least abide by what we expect them to abide by as public servants. Anyway, and I know that's really this harsh, but it isn't. It is just because it is the law. Anyway, if at the time fixed for the beginning of the term of president, the president-elect shall have died. So now they go down this path of, well, what happens if this and what happens if that? And so let me make sure I ended this right, though. A quorum for this purpose shall consist of a member or members from two-thirds of the states, and a majority of all the states shall be necessary to a choice, and all the states present. So in other words, they have to have a majority. So in other words, if you don't have the two-thirds, you still have to get to that majority to get there. Anyway, if the time fixed for the beginning of the term of president, the president shall have died, the vice president shall become president. This is part of the 20th Amendment. If a president shall not have been chosen before the time fixed for the beginning of his term, or if the president-elect shall have failed to qualify. Hold on here, folks. What does this mean? If the president-elect shall have failed to qualify. In other words, it's proven that he is a naturally born citizen. Then the vice president-elect shall act as president until a president shall have qualified. In other words, when Obama failed to qualify and he didn't want to show and he didn't want to prove, and he didn't want everybody to scrutinize his birth certificate, he should have been removed. He should never have been president. And the vice president at that point would have been Dingus Joe Biden. Sorry. And voila, well, actually, that's basically going down this path of how things, you know, would be. But had we done things right from the beginning and followed this, and the party's not done this, I honestly think we would have had much better presidents. And I honestly think that we would have actually had faithful presidents executing the Constitution instead of all of these problems that we've inflicted upon ourselves because we've allowed the party to convince us, both the Republican and Democratic Party, to convince us that this is the legal process of what we have to do. No, they have corrupted and deliberately stolen our election process of the Electoral College and how it's supposed to work. That's how bad off we are because of those two parties, folks. And they're all smiling, and it doesn't matter because they're still in control. The day you wake up is the day you actually recognize that the Republican Party has to go. It can't be maintained. It is already steeped and controlled by the globalists, and there's no way you can break that because the people that own and control it, they control the brand, and they have legal rights to that brand. You'd actually have to create a whole new party. Why? There's already a party that is a couple of parties that you hear me talk about, the Constitution Party and the Independent American Party. My only, I have the competition. I've got the challenge out there, folks, for both of these parties. Get to the top of the hill, and I will fully, fully endorse that party as the only party. There are some challenges to get to the top of the hill, and those leaders in that party, I think they understand what those challenges are. I'm not here to appease or placate the desires of a party and its agenda. I am here to hold everybody to the knowledge and accountability to the Constitution. I would be an immoral man if I told you that my endorsement was for sale for whoever wanted to pay for it. I would be just as corrupt and just as immoral as your public servants, the party, and all of these other things. Let's not be hypocrites, folks. Let's take the high road. It's so much easier living on the high road. It really is. And the only way you get knocked off the high road is when you actually drive off of it. When you're riding center line on that high road, you're untouchable. And I would rather die untouchable because people perceive me as the threat than to die on the low road or to be caught and held and lose my credibility and have my character impugned because I'm residing on the low road on these matters. You know, you can find low road things on me in my life. I've done low road things. But as we've gotten wiser and we've gotten smarter, we start drawing the lines, we start definitizing in these very specific things, this is what I'm going to do. You know? And so we still have behavioral things where none of us become perfected. I wish, but I understand the impossibilities of that. Anyway, so let me move forward to where we are now. So if the time fixed for the beginning of the president and the presidential elections will die, the vice president shall become president. If a president shall not have been chosen before the time fixed for the beginning of his term, or if the president-elect shall have failed to qualify, then the vice president-elect shall act as president until a president shall have qualified. And the Congress may by law provide for the case wherein neither a president-elect nor a vice president shall have qualified, declaring who shall then act as president, or the manner in which one who is to act shall be selected, and such person shall act accordingly until a president or vice president shall have qualified. Folks, we have two people in this current administration, Biden and Harris, that have never qualified. They have not been constitutionally chosen, and Congress has actually exercised powers not delegated by seating these two people in direct conflict with what the Electoral College requires Congress to do. Wow. So now we have this opportunity this year to make this a campaign issue. So this brings me back around This brings me right back around to the script that we're doing. This script that we're putting out there that will challenge, that will bring the facts to the people. You need to read this script. If you think you can make it shorter, by all means, let us know. It basically puts all the facts and information so everybody can hear it and understand that these incumbents have blood on their hands and they don't deserve to be reelected. We'll be right back. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so now we've really gone through the Electoral College, and as I was just telling you, that's why we have this script. And I want you to understand that this script that we have literally goes through the facts. So what we're going to do, and we promise that we've got, you know, by the end of the week to get it up there, it may be up there right now. But because I pre-record these things, I may not have it up there. But by Friday, I will tell you exactly where it is and what you can do and how to do it and engage, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I just said blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry. Don't mean to marginalize the importance of all of this stuff. And really, I don't. But what we want you to do is we want you to basically get this script, print it out, put it in the hands of many people that are going to be going to the town hall meetings and the campaign issues where people can ask these candidates for Congress, whether that be for your Senate or for your House of Representatives in your congressional district. You want to put it in their face, and you want to, and actually put this in social media. Do not be afraid to print these things out or make images of these things so that everybody can actually read this as you put it out there to say, I want my representative to answer this. As far as I'm concerned, CMR, Kathy McMorris Rogers, has blood on her hands because she did not do her job and fulfill her legal obligation as one who has taken an oath to office to support the Constitution and allowed both the Speaker of the House as well as the President of the Senate, both Pelosi and Pence, the two P's, allowed both of these two pernicious people, the two P's, too pernicious, the ability to actually create this constitutional crisis instead of executing the Constitution. So we need to get this word out. We need you to use this in social media. You can create a little catchy meme, and then you can create the links to the information on Reclaiming the Republic. You can make images of these things and then just actually dump this stuff out there. We need to proliferate this information because, folks, if you make this an issue that everybody needs to be aware of, and we want whoever our next representative in Congress to be for the Senate and for the House of Representatives. We want them to follow the Constitution in removing Biden and then choosing the president accordingly, instead of just accepting Biden to be our, you know, what we want to call a president, when he was not confirmed and not chosen in accordance to the constitutional process. We have to fix this mess. And by all means, folks, as you know, this means that Biden will no longer be president. What this means is we don't have to go through the impeachment process to remove his sorry butt. What this means is we can use the Constitution and Congress obtaining finally clarity on how they have done the wrong, how they have created this problem, and they can fix it. Now, one of the things that a lot of people will say, well, no, because Congress made this mistake, then we should be able to sue them. Actually, no, we can't. Because I want you to understand, this goes down the line of reparations. Has Congress's actions caused harm? Absolutely it has. But there is no ability for Congress to create ex post facto laws. In other words, something that they did, whether they knew it or not, and, you know, they violated the Constitution, there's no process for them to pay reparations to anybody that could prove that they've been harmed. Because bottom line, they are, as long as they get it right finally, then it's a done deal. And that's what we want. We want them to get it right so that we can start moving forward down the path we need to move. What amazes me is we've been talking about this for the longest time, for over a year, and there is nobody in the mainstream media, there's not even Trump. So either all of these guards who supposedly, all these people who really support Trump, all of these people that are doing the lip service, hey, support me, even the candidates who I know who have been heard and been told and are seeking Trump's, you know, support, they're not even telling Trump about these facts that Congress can actually put him back in office and how Congress did the wrong thing. Why is this? Either they're not telling him or he doesn't care. The question is, and you need to start figuring out these answers. You know, does Trump really deserve to be the next president? Well, technically, based on what we had in the system that we have, he would probably, and he should be, the president, period, whether we like it or not. But let's fix this, and let's not make these mistakes anymore. And in 2024, let's make sure we actually have a large field of presidents. Let's make sure we restore the Electoral College process the way it's supposed to be. And let's just make sure that the president that the Electoral College actually chooses for us would be a better executive in executing the laws of the union. That's what we need. That's what we deserve. And that's the Electoral College process is the system in doing that. Because, again, we're pretty stupid and we'll never get to a point where less than, you know, or more than 20% of the electorate actually understands, one, the Constitution, what they should be. Because too many people are busy. They just won't do it. They just won't do it, period. And when I say they just won't do it because they just won't do it, what that means is, you know, let's say a qualification for voting. You know, you're not supposed to have a poll tax. You're not supposed to pay a tax. But let's say you have to pass a test. Just like I want to have tests for our public servants, maybe you should at least understand the Constitution to a point that before you vote, you understand what you're voting for, why it needs to be done a certain way, so you can appreciate the fact of who to vote for. Wow. Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be an awesome system? A system that kind of has these checks and balances even on ourselves. Wow. The framers did a really good, I should say, the divine hand of providence did a really good job in giving us a system that protected us from ourselves. We have just failed, and we've begged and pleaded to empower ourselves to be able to do more harm to ourselves because we wanted greater agency based on ignorance instead of agency based on enlightenment. if we want to participate in the process of elections and so forth, we should at least demand that those people who do that are enlightened, not to remove their agency, but to say, you know, if you want to do this, if you want to drive on the road, you at least have to understand the laws of the road, right? Okay. And that's how we need to do this. Now, the next topic we're going to get into is a key topic. And oh, by the way, I didn't tell you this, but as we've been going through these issues, the bullets for this, the Bill of Rights, or what we've titled now, the Comprehensive Constitutional Positions to Campaign on for County, State, and Federal Elections. This document itself was about 2-3 pages when I first started, and I started disseminating this out last year. These are the key things that we've got to do. This is the stuff you have to understand, blah, blah, blah. So, blah, blah, there you go again. Here's the thing that I want you to consider. I want you to understand that as I'm going through this, as I'm injecting the Electoral College, now I'm expanding these topics so that you understand them. That's not just a high level, like all elections must be local. I've given you now content in this document that actually goes, let me see here, that goes over one page, almost 2 pages. It's about 1 3/4 pages that I'm going to read to you in what it means to create elections local, or to ensure that we create all elections and enforce this all elections being local to protect our Republican form of government, because elections is the process of us choosing our representatives. So why is it that people think that they should be able to infect and afflict and influence all elections around the world? We can't influence the elections in China. China would actually, you know, consider that political warfare if America was actually directly engaged and they caught our hands. And as a matter of fact, there would be consequences to that. There have been consequences to that as we've tried to influence other elections in Russia and so forth as they were communist states. Folks, what we have to do is we have to basically take things out onto the world forum and let the people decide for themselves, but not to actually inject money, inject advertising, those types of things. But we're going to get into, in this next segment of this document of how to campaign at your local, state, and federal levels, how to articulate these topics and these issues. So this 3-page document, as I've kind of expanded to the next few discussion points, is now 16 pages. And we're not done. There's still some single line bullets in here, and there's still plenty of things I need to expound upon. This will probably become a 50 page document, because I want you to have the details, the references, you know, the actual citations out of the Constitution or wherever we're coming up with this type of information on the right of conscience. We need to provide you with the facts. Remember I said we want to be right? It's important, folks. Being right makes you feel good, because when you go to bed at night, when you know you're right and you can't be proven wrong, you sleep the sleep of the just. But if you know you got some kind of shaky crap going out there, forgive the expression, but when it's kind of shaky and it's not well-founded, then you kind of wonder, well, is that going to bite me? You know, and it gives you a little level of stress when you try to go to sleep, and you don't sleep so well. And I want everybody to get good night's sleep. I want them to wake refreshed and invigorated and be able to conquer the day and conquer their counties and do everything you need to do to be successful. Because, folks, when you're successful, we're successful. Your success, our success is dependent on your successes. And I can't emphasize that enough. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.